And a very good morning to you. Good morning. A special hello as well to any visitors who are here or anybody with us for the first time. Please do come and join us for tea or coffee in the Mayo Hall after the service. Then at 11:30 there is interactive worship, and then at 6:30 this evening, reflective worship with communion. And at this service, we should be welcoming Trevor Newman into church membership. So if you're able to make it, that would be terrific. Just one item of personal news, and that is that Anne Patterson is now out of hospital. Helen Jones would like to say a big thank you to all those who helped her raise £846.50 for ABF, the Soldiers Charity, in the Beaupert 10-kilometre race she ran in last weekend. Your support was greatly appreciated. And coming back to a moment to Trevor, he and Joe are getting married next weekend. And if anybody was able to look after their six-month-old cat while they're on a fortnight's holiday, honeymoon that is, that would be much appreciated. And finally, 300 people used the food bank during May.
There has been a church of a nonconformist description on this site for 350 years. We think that is something worth celebrating, so we are beginning all our acts of worship in this year with these sentences. We say together, we are Kingston United Reformed Church. We celebrate our diversity and freedom of relationship with the state. With the whole Christian church, we will follow Jesus. We will serve him in our community and in our daily lives in the strength of the Holy Spirit. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the very Spirit bearing witness within our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We join to sing, Holy, Holy, Holy. going to begin with a prayer from St. Paul's, a prayer for the Diamond Jubilee of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, and then I'll move on to some other prayers. So let us pray. God of time and eternity, whose Son reigns as servant, not master, we give you thanks and praise that you have blessed this nation, the realms and territories and Commonwealth, with Elizabeth to serve as our Queen. In this year of Jubilee, grant her your gifts of love and joy and peace, as she continues in faithful obedience to you, her Lord and her God. We thank you for her devoted service to her land and peoples. Bless her now and all the days of her life, we pray in the name of Jesus. Gather with reverence, for God is our Maker, known to us as Creator, loving Father, Mother, and Parent. Source of all that has ever been and worthy of our praise. Gather with reverence for God the Son, known to us as Jesus Christ, Messiah, friend and brother, Saviour of all that is and has ever been and worthy of our adoration. Gather with reverence for God the Holy Spirit, known to us as Spirit, Comforter, Helper and Sustainer, essence of all that is and has ever been and worthy of our worship. Holy God, revealed to us in Jesus and present with us through the Spirit, we know that often in the things that we do, we displease you. Personally, and in the structures that we allow, we ask to be forgiven. The Lord says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sin from you. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I need a bit of help bringing out some stuff. Could I have some help bringing out some stuff? And I need Sally at the front. Carry that. Can you carry that as well? That's good. Right, Sally, you have a seat there. This is your service of worship from heaven. It's a foretaste of things to come. I'm just waiting for my kettle to boil again, because you can't make a cup of tea without completely boiled water, can you? I have boiled it three times now. And it was boiled like two... Oh, it's gone. It was boiled 2 seconds ago. And I can't have it any further forward because I don't want to hurt anybody. Now, We believe in God. Oh, Emma, hello, come front. We believe in God and we know that God is one, and that is something that we need to keep on banging on about, because some people have got the notion that we believe in three gods, and it's not how it is. We believe in one God, but we also believe that God is known in three ways, and the three ways that we know God are: God as, speak with me, Father. That's the sort of language some people use creator, but God is Father. God that we know as Jesus, and the other one is Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. That's the three bits of God, but we believe that God is one. And this is a little demonstration of this that I know you've seen a million times before. Can I have that, please? So here we have, well, I'm going to take that off you because it might hurt. Here we have some, what's in there? What is it? No, just look. What is it? It's tea. It is indeed tea. It's a tea. So that's one thing in there, and that one thing, can I just nick that? Thank you. Is tea. Tea. One thing, that's tea. And then we're going to add another one thing. Thank you. So I've added milk. And now I'm going to add one. You're going to put one spoon in? Go on. A bit more. That's it. That's lovely. That's good. You can give it a stir. Fabulous. Thank you very much. So in here I have tea. One. I have milk. I have sugar. One. And I end up with how many cups of tea? One. I put three things in. I have one cup of tea. And the reason I called Sally forward is because she likes sugar. Aha. I know all the rest of you are thinking, why didn't you make me a cup of tea? Because you don't take sugar in it. And it would have ruined my picture. Hey, God in all complexity and known in us and around us, and we are glad. We're going to sing. Thank you. You put those there beside my hot kettle. That's great. Thank you very much. Thank you for your help. What we're singing? God, Father, we adore you. Thank you very much. The book that is
known as Paul's letter to the Romans is many people consider to be Paul's explanation of the gospel. And he spent chapters explaining why people need new life in Christ and what difference that new life in Christ makes. And Olive Springham is going to read for us this complex piece of writing.
Our lesson is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, from verse 12. So then, my brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to live as our human nature wants us to. For if you live according to your human nature, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death your sinful actions, you will live. Those who are led by God's Spirit are God's children. For the Spirit that God has given you does not make you slaves and cause you to be afraid. Instead, the Spirit makes you God's children. And by the Spirit's power, we cry out to God, Father, my Father. God's Spirit joins himself to our spirits to declare that we are God's children. Since we are his children, we will possess the blessings he keeps for his people. And we will also possess with Christ what God has kept for him. For if we share Christ's suffering, we will also share his glory. Amen.
Thanks, Olive. This tight, complex passage from Romans speaks of the followers of Jesus as being adopted as God's children, valued members of the family. We count in the overall scheme of things. You have had the old life and the old ways. Now you have Jesus. Now you have new ways. And in the middle of the complexity of this life of the early church, you have the early Christians at the bottom of the social heap trying to make sense of it all. I would like to suggest that the Trinity is a defining doctrine, and I think how you view the Trinity says a lot about you, about how you view the church, about how you view tradition, and about how you view God. The first thing that must be said is that you cannot pull up a text from the Bible and say, ha ha, from this text proceeds the Trinity. You cannot do it. You can collect texts and put a package together that makes it quite clear that the Trinity is the truth. But there is not a defining text. And my friends, that is okay. Secondly, the Trinity, the doctrine of the Trinity, has grown up from the church. The doctrine of the Trinity has grown up from the church. As the church has wrestled with who is this man, how can he be man and God, the doctrine of the Trinity has evolved to help us to understand and explain it. And those people who would dismiss the tradition end up as biblical literalists and Jehovah's Witnesses. It is the place, the Trinity is the place where even those who have the highest view of Scripture at the very least have to mutter under their breath, yes, the tradition of the church matters too. The choice of which books are in, which are out in the Scriptures was the work of the church. The understanding of who Jesus is, the work of the church. The compass of belief that defines us is the work of the church. Now, let's be clear. It is the church in its best times with the flow of the Spirit through it. But it's the church nonetheless. The third thing I would pull up in the doctrine of the Trinity is that the Trinity shows people's view about God. If you are a person who has a picture of God that has to be nailed down and defined in doctrines and dogmas, and you run out of syllables, then the Trinity is a problem to you. Because it's difficult to understand, it's worse to explain, and it's tough to advocate. And it's one of those things that for most people is on the too hard pile, and they think of it as a job for experts, which means that you're less likely to talk about it. That means you're less likely to talk about the faith in case somebody steers you in the direction of the Trinity. We believe in one God, eternally God. We believe that God is present with us and in us and through us. And we believe that God is uniquely present in Jesus. We believe that God is present through bread and through wine, which reminds us of the last time that Jesus ate with the disciples before he was killed. We do not believe that God is contained in bread and wine. We do not believe that God is contained, not in doctrine, not in words, not in bread and wine. We believe that God is more. We also believe that God is not contained in the United Reformed Church. We believe that God is not even contained in the whole of the church. Any effort to nail God down are futile. And I don't know about you, but my experience is this. I come to, in my head, I think, right, that's it. That is 100% correct. I know that to be correct. I've got something nailed down. And now I'm 52. I sort of smile wryly to myself because I know that then in the next week something is going to happen that's going to challenge that, because that is my experience of God. I think, yeah, that's it. It's definitely. And then something comes on. I think, oh man, how do I fit that in? Oh, back to the drawing board of trying to have God in a nice system and in a nice box. The thing about the Trinity is that it has movement within it. The thing about the Trinity is it flows. The thing about the Trinity is it's about creativity. It's about difference and oneness. And that is the thing that makes it fabulous. And also the thing that makes it difficult. It's great news. It is great news. See how small and insignificant and boring you think your life is. The good news of God in Jesus Christ is that God calls you into relationship with God. And calls you into the movement, the flow that is known as God is Trinity. It is not that if you can get your head around these doctrines, you can come in. It is that in your weakness, your smallness, your vulnerability, God can tenderly call you in. And can you explain it? We are in the world of God. That doesn't excuse us from the effort of trying to be able to articulate what we believe, but it does make it very clear that we will never get to the place where we can say 1, 2, 3, 4 and get to the end of it and think, yeah, that's it. Except if we've used words that other people do not know what we are talking about. God is not contained. So let's eat bread and wine together, knowing that God is there through them, in them, but not only there. And let us, in our togetherness and our history, know that we are part of the one holy God. So let us pray. Gracious God, creator of the universe, you have set the earth as an orb spinning in the heavens, and you have made human beings in your image. We pray for those who on this day feel that they are small and worthless. For those who've been neglected, those who've been abused, those who've been told that they are stupid, we pray that they would meet people who would teach them about your love and your valuing of them. Over this time when we celebrate the Jubilee of Elizabeth the Queen, we thank you for her example of faithful service and devotion to duty. And we pray for all those who keep on going. Those who struggle with poverty, those who keep on with their peacemaking, caring for others, those who do jobs that other people think of as trivial and disgusting, and yet jobs that the rest of us need. We pray that this long weekend would be a good time of celebration, and communities would get together, that people would get to know their neighbours, and that there would be wholesome fun around the place. We pray that you would keep people safe, that people wouldn't abuse alcohol, and that there wouldn't be violence. And we pray that it would be the beginning of community in places where it has long been forgotten. We pray for harmony in this land. Give peace. We pray for those places in the world where there is not time to celebrate because there are too many jobs to be done. Water to be provided, work to be done, food to be harvested. We pray for peace. Lord our God, our prayer is that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done, and we ask it in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. So let us continue our worship. Let's make our offering. Let us pray. Blessed are you, Lord our God, who gives us life and who gives life with meaning. Transform these gifts that might, to those who know no better, look like money and bread and wine, but which speak to us of things that are eternal. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. The hymn is number 438, An Upper Room Did Our Lord Prepare. We gather at this table and we remember Jesus, who was born of Mary, who lived our common life on the earth, who suffered and died for us, who was raised by God from the dead and is always present through the Holy Spirit. And in the company of all God's people, in the past, present and to come, we celebrate the supper of the Lord. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst to see right prevail. They shall be satisfied. And here again, the words of the institution of this feast as they were given by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So in the name of the Lord Jesus, we take bread and we take wine. And as he gave thanks, so we join our prayers of thanks. Let us pray. In you, God, the mysterious Trinity, we live and rejoice. You are the foundation of all things, the giver of life, the sustainer of possibility. You are the one who comes in Jesus out of Nazareth, the healing rabbi who undoes all that human brokenness can do. The son who chooses the cross, the son who is raised to new life. Your eternal purposes draw all creation back into your love. One God, creating, saving, and recreating. We worship and adore you. You, O God, are majestic and mystery, and you are unknowable to us. Yet you are close and real. And present with us through bread, through wine. Transform these gifts through the power of your Holy Spirit, that this time would take us back to refocus on you. All that you have done and all that you can do. All praise to your name, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. He took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he said, "This is my body, and it is broken for you." He took wine, poured out a symbol of his blood that would be shed, and he said, "This is my blood shed for you." The elders will bring you the bread and the wine. When you get the plate, you'll notice that it's mostly bread, but there's some biscuit, and that is for those of us who have issues with gluten and wheat. And for all of us, if you are a person who has issues with alcohol, the good news is there is none in the wine that we will all drink. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. the body of Christ. blood of Christ. So let us pray. Okay. I think I've got it. Before anything and anything existed, you were. And when nothing, no thing remains, you will be. But what I want to know, were you there the other day when temptation cracked the combination to my heart? And will you be there when death taps me on the shoulder and grins and says, "Do you want to go for a walk?" And if I whisper, "Come, come soon, I need you right now," will you? And thank you for this meal that reminds us that you will. Amen. It's Barbara Parker's choice. 114, let all the world in every corner sing. Into the world where God is already there to welcome us, we are sent. Sent out to where people are hurting, where people are in need. Sent out with love and with kindness. Sent out with hope and with joy. Amen.